The mysterious disappearance of an entire ancient community of Native Americans known as the Anasazi might actually have a connection to the modern UFO question of our day today. Just one of the many questions that today's panel hopes to answer. But first, watch this.
It's probably the toughest area to research that I'm aware of.
I suspect that they are going to try to represent themselves as our benefactors.
They're still masquerading as the saviors of humanity here from some other star system. It's a lie.
When looking at the UFO phenomenon, we have to remember the skeptics have to be right every time, but the believers only need to be right once.
This is the coming great deception.
This is ultra-dimensional, extra-dimensional, and quite possibly what the Bible describes as angels and demons.
These extraterrestrial vehicles are beginning to take a more hostile posture and are beginning to engage our military assets.
We're going to have official disclosure of the UFO alien presence. This is not fiction. It's coming.
Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're in studio today with the director of the newest Skywatch Films documentary release, The Great Delusion, The Second Coming of Earth's Oldest Enemy, Mr. Josh Peck.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Tom Horn, who along with myself not only produced the film, but have been archiving footage for its use for over a decade. Before we get into our discussion, we have decided to use the next few weeks to show you selected clips from the movie itself. Now, keep in mind, we're unable to show you the entire movie in this short television format, and here in just a few minutes, we're going to reveal how you can get a copy of the full-length film, but first, watch this.
So here we are, we're on the sixth day, the final leg of a journey. We've gone through the ancient Pueblo dwellings, we've met with Indian guides, with Cherokee guides. We just actually left a little while ago with a third generation medicine man that took us inside of his dwelling, told us their stories of creation and the amazing parallels between the Old Testament legends of giants and the stories here in America, giants that have been here in the United States. Now we're on our way to the petroglyphs. There are some strange images that are there. There are pictures of six-fingered and six-toed giants that were painted by the ancient Anasazi. And we're going to film it. We're going to present it to you. It's been a blast. 6 days and running, and now we're just about finished. Following my initial investigation into the Vatican's interest in aliens and our trip to Mount Graham, in media interviews following, we were literally inundated by requests from thousands of people worldwide, asking that we continue that research, especially as it involves stories from around the world of specific geographic locations, very often tied to mountains, where intelligent beings have been reported for thousands of years traversing portals, stargates, wormholes.
The Anasazi, very mysterious culture. Why would they need to build things, 40, 50 feet up in the air? Why did they suddenly vanish and no one really knows what happens to them.
They were very mysterious because they appeared to have had some advanced knowledge regarding astronomical phenomena, and also they disappeared. They suddenly disappeared from the Earth.
We had been told of the more than 4,000 archaeological sites, 600 cliff dwellings ascribed to the Anasazi, a mysterious people that had kept no written records, and yet who built mesa-top villages and absolutely astonishing cliff dwellings within caves and under outcroppings in the sides of these canyons. Nothing could have prepared us for how breathtaking they actually were. Just ahead of us that day stood an outstanding complex that some archaeologists say was built long before the time of Christ and that had suddenly and mysteriously been abandoned at least 800 years ago. Clothing, tools, and even food items were included in the materials that they had quickly left behind.
The prevailing theory is that the Anasazi migrated away from where they were inhabiting the United States and eventually integrated into other native tribes, and that's what happened. But the evidence seems to suggest that this was not a gradual migration and integration into other tribes. Rather, this was a sudden disappearance because they left behind many of the artifacts that would have been very important to their society, such as bags of salt, baby-carrying devices, and all kinds of practical implements that they surely would have taken with them if this was an intentional and gradual migration out of the area. Maybe what happened was they were confronted with some kind of an existential threat that caused them to suddenly flee and disband their society, or that perhaps exterminated them or devoured them.
This one location alone was a small city, three stories high, built right inside a sheer mountain wall, yet more than 600 other such cliff dwellings lay ahead of us. Now, these components were built into the high rock ledges along the Mesa Verde Valley, and they were constructed from really accurately cut stones that were set in mortar. Even after 800 years of abandonment, the walls remain remarkably strong to this day. You can also see the handholds and the footholds that were cut into the cliff faces that served as frightening climbing apparatus, which the inhabitants would scale along these sheer mountain walls in order to tend their gardens on the top of the mesa where they grew beans, squash, and corn. Well, hour after hour, as we advanced to study these structures, we couldn't help but wonder why the Anasazi would have ascended such terribly dangerous circumstances to carve out such amazing fortresses. What they did was far beyond the need to provide for shelter and protection from cougars and bears. It would have been 1,000 times easier to construct and defend their lodgings near the river from which the stones had been harvested, unless, of course, they were trying to defend themselves from something more dangerous than rival tribes, bears, and large cats. All we could imagine was that this tremendous amount of additional effort had something to do with the need for a literal citadel of fantastic defensible proportions. But from what? We believe that we found the incredible and scary answer to that question later when viewing and deciphering the ancient petroglyphs that the Anasazi left behind.
We're here at Newspaper Rock, which is an etching done on sandstone during ancient times. It covers about 2,000 years worth of human history etched into stone on this behind us. Notice the giant footprint at the top with the six toes on it. And notice up top this creature that has almost horn-like things on it. Is it holding a disc, something beside it to the left? If you look around through here, there are lots of designs that repeat themselves. But then if you look around, there are also some isolated things that are interesting to look at as well.
So we decided to make one final excursion, this time into Utah, 50 miles north of Moab, where one of the largest known collections of petroglyphs is located in San Juan County. The storyboard that we would visit there is etched in sandstone. It began as early as 1,000 years before Christ, and it records practically every element contained in the ancient world, from spiral vortices and those who come through them, to human-animal chimeras and even giant six-fingered and six-toed footprints in pursuit of much smaller five-fingered and five-toed humans. It's called the Newspaper Rock Petroglyph, and this one is known and is somewhat decipherable as to which images are older due to the fading and darkness of the earlier depictions, which are certainly the most mysterious with their alien-looking heads and suits and what might be some type of craft. And archaeologists believe the writing on that great wall continued from about 1,000 years before Christ up until about AD 1300, the same time the Anasazi suddenly disappeared. But the natural park sign that is there admits, quote, "There are no known methods of dating rock art. In interpreting the figures on the rock, scholars are undecided as to their meaning or to have yet to decipher them. Unfortunately, we do not know if the figures represent storytelling, doodling, hunting magic, clan symbols, ancient graffiti, or something else," end quote. Well, I suggest something else is exactly what they tell us, based on the redundancy of the same story told all around the world.
There seem to be depictions of very strange entities, non-human entities, in the petroglyphs in the desert southwest and other parts of the United States. Petroglyphs that were created a long time ago by Native American tribes. Some of the petroglyphs seem to depict like Bigfoot-type creatures. What were they really trying to depict in these petroglyphs? Nobody really knows. Sometimes these entities that are being depicted in the petroglyphs might be shamans dressed up in certain kinds of suits, because they definitely would shroud themselves in buffalo skins and purposely make themselves look non-human, like monsters or mythological creatures, sometimes celebrating what they believe was contact with non-human entities that occurred in the distant past with their ancestors. And so a lot of this can be traced back to these ancestral memories and these ancestral traditions of contact with non-human entities, whether those be star people or whatever. And I think that they probably are depicting this in some of their petroglyphs.
The large reptilian figure behind me was one that we were told earlier today by a third-generation medicine man had represented an entity that had caused Indians to go crazy, causing them to wander to the point of insanity.
Dr. Don Mose, Jr., a third-generation medicine man that we met with for a large part of a day during this investigation, told us that the oldest legends of the Anasazi, which had been told by his great-grandfather to him, who likewise had been told by his ancestors, included stories of the Anasazi turning to sorcery, sacrifice, and cannibalism after they, quote, lost their way, end quote, and were driven insane by a reptilian creature, which they depict with a halo above his head. Images of that being are included in the petroglyphs that we filmed inside the canyons, and I believe that they likely attest to the fallen reptile or reptiles of biblical fame, which also misled humanity.
Concerning the days of Noah and the watchers, who were, of course, angelic beings, there was a time when there was marriage between the angelic beings and women here on earth. We read that in several places, not only in the Bible, but Plato mentions the fact that the gods lived in Atlantis, of course, or wherever Atlantis was. Plato and other sources, including Josephus, agreed that angels of God came down and cohabited with women and had children with them. They were called Nephilim. That's one reason why God had to destroy the world with a flood in the days of Noah.
Genesis 6 is this strange, very brief story in the Bible that says that sons of God saw that the daughters of man were fair and took wives of any they chose. And from these unions of these sons of God and daughters of man produced giants, or Nephilim in the Hebrew. What that means is, talking about this now from a UFO standpoint, is that we've got biblical documentation that Earth has been visited by inhuman entities for literally thousands of years.
The enticing linkage that suggests itself, there may be a close relationship between what we see as UFOs and what occurred in Genesis chapter 6, where fallen angels, these are angels bent on mischief, somehow got themselves involved with human women to create a hybrid called a Nephilim. In the Hebrew, it's called the fallen ones, the verb Nephal. In the Greek, it's Gigas, which means the earthborn. Those events is what gave rise to the subsequent mythology about Greek demigods and all of that. These creatures were the cause of the flood of Noah. His genealogy wasn't impaired by this chicanery of the fallen angels. The word tamim in the Hebrew, it refers to a physical defect. He was free of that, his genealogy was. So we know a lot about that because of the passages both in Genesis 6 and it's confirmed two or three times in the New Testament. What many people overlook, it happened a second time when God communicated to Abraham that his descendants, after 400 years, would come back to this land. That gave Satan the opportunity at 400 years to lay down a minefield, and the same kind of activity occurred again a second time. And the Genesis 6 record even makes mention of that. In Genesis 6 verse 4, it says it was also after that. Now, it makes allusion to a second occurrence. It's amazing. Many people don't really understand the Old Testament because they don't understand what really happened in Genesis 6. It's important. They all ties together.
Dr. Don Mose was known to be sensitive to Christianity, a retired Navajo academic who had authored many of the nation's school books as well as cultural programs throughout the Four Corners area. And as we would discover, he is a proficient Native American storyteller, an oral traditions historian, if you will. He seemed pleased to meet us, more than eager to get started telling the tales that we had asked him to clarify for us, stories that his father and grandfather had passed down for generations, stories of giants, stories of alien slaying heroes of lore, and more.
What Grandpa was telling me was not folk tales, but it was real.
Now, the official and legendary stories involved creation.
Well, this means beginning of life cycle from above and also Mother Earth. This means Father Sky.
Giants?
Their mother was very protective. She hid them away from the giant. When they're just very small children, she hid them underneath the fireplace. And put a stone there and she would hide them. So their name was Raised Under the Fire.
A reptilian deceiver and more, all from the voice of the nation's medicine man.
Here we are in the Four Corner. We finally made it here. The old group came from here. By the time that we have arrived, the old Anasazi people were gone, but they left the handprints, the sign.
Yes.
I think what they did was trying to find the center of the earth.
Dr. Mose even sang to us in the antiquated tongue and recited parts of what I would call Old Testament history, paralleled in their earliest antiquity using the Navajo language. When I pushed him for greater detail, Dr. Mose went off script. He actually delineated from the official Navajo storyline to provide greater consistency between history and the way the Bible itself recorded certain events. For example, as the medicine man was following the official storyline about the Anasazi and how they didn't disappear but rather migrated and became the modern Pueblo Indians, I expressed doubts about that theory. And he responded by looking at me and grinning and saying, "Well, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but..."
They took what was spiritual and began to use it to their own gain. They used the spirituality to developed witchcraft.
The Anasazi did?
Yeah, the Anasazi. They began to destroy their culture. They didn't have respect for what was sacred. A lot of what is sacred, the sand painting, is supposed to be only done in the morning before the sun goes down. It has to be destroyed, never to be shown again. But today, we take pictures of it. We do imitation of them, hang them on the wall. That's what the Anasazi would do. They took what was sacred in those kiva. I don't know if I should say this on camera, but they also became cannibals. It's the old same Sodom and Gomorrah story. The destruction, you see, it's no different, but we were aware of that.
There was a time, he said, when the earth was infested with such great giants and alien gods that destroyed and ate the people. Some of them were in human form. Others were monsters and human-animal hybrids. And he then proceeded to tell us the older stories that his grandfather had repeated about these mysterious people actually disappearing after they came under mind control from a reptile with a halo, a carnivorous creature suspiciously similar to what we described in Exo Vaticana as fiery seraphim.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're going to show you how you can get a copy of the full-length documentary The Great Delusion, along with several other groundbreaking materials on the discussion of UFOs, aliens, and the second coming of Earth's earliest enemy. And when we come back, we're going to talk with the film's director and producer. Stay tuned.
With the official disclosure of UFOs moving full steam ahead, very few will be prepared for what is coming. The answers are now available in Josh Peck's groundbreaking new Skywatch Films documentary DVD, over 10 years in the making, entitled The Great Delusion, The Second Coming of Earth's Oldest Enemy, along with Dr. Thomas Horn's documentary-style expose on DVD, Rome and the Star God, and the late Chris Putnam's Vatican presentation on DVD, Astrobiology and the Vatican ET Connection. Josh Peck's new documentary, The Great Delusion, reveals for the first time why the Vatican is in possession of a telescope named the Lucifer Device, why the ancient and mysterious Anasazi suddenly disappeared from the historic record, how alien abductions might be connected to the sixth chapter of the Book of Genesis, whether there is a secret alien-human hybridization program being conducted on Earth right now, if there is a connection between aliens and supernatural entities such as demons and fallen angels, and what we can do to prepare for what's ahead. You'll also see stunning reports on the UFO phenomenon by Dr. Thomas Horn, Josh Peck, L.A. Marzulli, Timothy Alberino, Nick Pope, Chris Putnam, Chuck Misler, and many more. You'll also receive Dr. Thomas Horn's documentary-style expose, Rome and the Star God, on DVD. Join Dr. Horn for this incredible expose on how the Vatican is not only willing to accept our alien brothers with open arms, but are actually enabling the arrival of the end-time Star God, the Antichrist. But that's not all. We're also including the late Chris Putnam's shocking presentation entitled Astrobiology and the Vatican ET Connection on DVD, detailing the Vatican's plans to baptize aliens upon their arrival, and how contemporary societies will soon look to the aliens to be the saviors of humankind. Sold separately, these items have a retail value of $75. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Prepare for full disclosure with The Great Delusion special offer. Available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're in the midst of a series on the brand new documentary film, The Great Delusion, The Second Coming of the Earth's Oldest Enemy, by producers Dr. Tom Horn and Josh Peck. Thanks for joining us again, gentlemen. I want to dive right into our discussion this week with just a few minutes left on the clock, because there might be people watching this program that are still unfamiliar with the Anasazi. And Tom, you mentioned in the film that the oldest traditions about the Anasazi say that they were being led into insanity by an evil reptilian being. Do you feel that this is comparable to Satan of the Bible?
Yeah, I absolutely do. As a matter of fact, when people see that clip that you just played, they see us talking to Navajo historian. He's actually really well known in the Four Corners area. He's an academic, he's a PhD, teaches in their schools, written several of their books. But he's also a medicine man, an oral traditions historian, as they like to call. And Joe, you were with us.
I was
we
there.
Went into a traditional hogan.
That was inside. Quite an experience.
It was a real experience, right? You're gonna set up all your lights and everything, and he says, "Hey, here, follow me." He just said, "Let's go."
You got to go. You got to go.
Yeah, and I looked at you and said, "Just start filming."
Yep,
and
that's right.
Probably nobody in the Four Corners area more qualified to answer our questions because he goes back into generations of traditional historians. And we got some phenomenal stuff that people are going to see in this film.
Yes.
Moments in which he says, "I shouldn't tell you this."
That's right.
And then he starts explaining what really happened with the Anasazi. And in particular, the part that fascinated me sounded like it came right out of the Old Testament, where he describes a portal opening in the Four Corners area and a reptilian entity with a halo around its head coming through. Sounds very much like he's describing, you know, the fiery
seraph or cherubim or something.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this entity in particular starts teaching the Anasazi to practice witchcraft, to go into their underground kivas, human cannibalism. I mean, it gets really, really dark. He even called it witchcraft. But what Dr. Mose probably doesn't even know is in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which Josh has been deep into lately with Dr. Ken Johnson, it actually describes an entity. Like the leader of the Watchers is described. He's called Makarisha, I think. But he's very dark. He's got a reptilian face, right? And he's an agent of deception. You know, when Dr. Mose is talking, we're just blown away by the fact that he's actually describing this entity from the ancient Dead Sea Scrolls. It's also referred to in the Old Testament. So pretty amazing the role that that character played in the demise and disappearance of the Anasazi. People will learn about that in the film.
And this is why that's so important, because that same enemy has interacted with humankind all throughout history. There's a track that you can follow up till today. And all of a sudden today, we have disclosure. We have these otherworldly beings in our skies that we know nothing about. And would we say that they're driving people to insanity? People get really into this stuff today. They get obsessed. They think that these alien beings are our creators. That's why Christians really need to be paying attention to this topic right now.
All of it and more in The Great Delusion, the second coming of Earth's oldest enemy, guys. Thank you so much for your work and joining me on the panel again today. That's going to conclude today's program, but you're not going to want to miss next week when we discuss the many different theories attempting to define what these alien beings actually are. Are they demons, fallen angels, something else entirely? Join us next week to find out. For everybody here in studio, I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.